Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Brandi Burri had a reoccurring role on HBO's The Wire when she gave up her career to start a family. While living with her family in Beacon, New York, she decides to reclaim her life as an actor, and the domestic world she's carefully created crumbles around her. The documentary film, Actress, is both a present tense portrait of a dying relationship and an exploration of a woman performing the role of herself. Actress will screen at Upstate Films in Woodstock, New York on November 29th at 5 p.m., and Brandi Burri and filmmaker Robert Greene will both be in attendance for a discussion following the film. I spoke with Robert Greene last week and began by asking him how he met Brandi and decided to make this film with and about her.
She's my neighbor, so I knew her for years sort of as a parent friend. We have kids the same age who our yards are basically connected, and they sort of run between the yards. I knew that she was an actor the same way she knew that I was a documentary filmmaker, but that only means so much when you're just, you know, friends through your kids. It didn't really register that we may ever work together. And then I saw The Wire, which, you know, became my favorite thing I've ever seen, ever, you know?
And, right, you and everybody and, else.
Yeah, exactly. Like, not original there. But it was, I loved it so much, and I just couldn't even believe that, you know, this person was next to me. And, you know, someone who was not a major player, but a pretty important part in that show. And I had also sort of, I've always sort of thought of, for my documentaries, I'm interested in, like, how people play roles and how they play themselves and how that sort of is a real life thing, meaning that people play roles in their real lives, but they also are sort of playing the role for the documentarian. And I'm interested in sort of how the stories and forms it all kind of mix together. So the next step of that was to you know, work with an actual actor. And Brandi has a master's degree in acting, and so I sort of approached her, and she, you know, she was a little hesitant at first, and then maybe ready, and then maybe not ready again, and then eventually, you know, we started filming, and then life sort of took us in a direction that we couldn't have expected, and that became the film.
How long did you film for?
We filmed basically from start to finish, you know, so from the first time I pushed record just to see what it looked like to filming the last few scenes was about 18 months. But there was probably a core 3 or 4 months in there that we were really filming. So that was through the holidays, and as the, you know, it's funny to talk about it because it's real life, but as the story was taking us in the direction it took us, which was her real life, you know, things that she was going through,
right,
were over the holidays, basically. So there was like a 3 or 4 month intense period and a lot of like spread out time before and after that.
And how did you and she and the people around her decide when you would record, what you would record, and what you maybe wouldn't?
We suffered from the thing that was like, you know, all I had to do was walk next door. So it seemed like everything was easy and on the table.
Right.
So that sometimes meant that we didn't film when we should have been, or that we, you know, that it was sometimes more of a, it ended up being more of a psychological thing because we could just film at any time. There was no, we didn't raise money to make this project. This was just me taking the camera next door, and my other films had gotten out there in some way. So she knew that this could be a film, or at least I told her, I think on some level she never believed that it was actually going to be a film. It was
sure.
Just more like a project for her to do things in, because she really needed that or wanted that, I think. But like it was a bunch of different things. And during the core sort of part of the story, or, you know, once again, that life story thing is a complicated thing. But when that was all going on, it would be like, hey, this is happening. Maybe I should come film. And she'd say yes. And she almost never said no once we were really going. But sometimes it would be like, hey, can you tell me when you're bringing the Christmas tree home? And, okay, well, I'll come film that. Or can you tell me when this is happening? I'll come film it. Or she might say, hey, I really want to rant about something. Come over. Or, like, you know, so it was very touch and go, and sort of, you know, I knew what I needed in terms of a narrative, but really so much, since it's so much a portrait of Brandi, you know, the life things I needed, like the sort of touch tones of, like, you know, decorating your house for Christmas or going grocery shopping, you know, at a grocery store were one kind of thing. And the other kind of thing was, hey, I need to talk. And, like, you're my friend and there's a camera, so let's do that. And I think you see those sort of disparate, different ways of approaching, you know, the subject throughout the film.
Her kids, her two young kids, are in the film very organically. It almost seems like they do not care at all that you're there with the camera. Do you think that's because they already knew you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Henry and Stella knew me, obviously, very well, and they, you know me as someone who just is around anyway. They did have a, you know, a lot of this stuff is so, you know, like, oh, how is she, you know, how did you get her to speak certain things on camera? Well, you know, I edited it too, you know, like,
right.
Editing is such a crucial part of it. That Henry and Stella definitely at sometimes would look and say, like, in the lens, and I'd be like, guys, stop looking at the camera, you know?
Sure.
Like, but I could bark at them because they, you know, Brandy barks at my children. Like, this is just how we sort of co-parent in some ways, you know, just out of being neighbors and being close friends. Like, I could say, like, guys, this is, like, 5 minutes. I just need 5 minutes or something. But also, I have the gift of editing, and I can make them, you know, I can cut out the parts where Henry's, like, you know, mugging for the camera. Or, I mean, the thing is Henry's very aware of these things. Stella is a little creature who can do whatever she wants, and she's powerful and sort of on her own rhythms constantly. So not only did she not care, but she's a force to deal with anyway. So she just does whatever she wants.
The film is about an hour and a half, a little bit less than an hour and a half. How many hours of footage do you have? Do you know?
40-something hours,
mm-hmm.
Which is not that much, actually, for a documentary. Sometimes you get, you know, in a 90-minute film, you'll have shot 400 hours of footage. This is my fourth film, and I've edited a dozen features. And this is, I feel like I can control the process a little bit more, and
sure.
I don't overshoot, which is actually a problem with a lot of documentaries, is just overshooting because you're afraid of missing something. This film's very much more directed in terms of what I was interested in filming and what I wanted to say, you know, or what I wanted to capture or where I wanted to be. And so, like, I could direct that a little bit more. So that's, you know, yielded not too many hours of footage. And of the 40 hours, maybe 15 of it is just Brandy, like, needing to express something. And sometimes that was useful for the film. Sometimes it was useful for just friendship. But I knew what I needed and sort of how we wouldn't get there.
You mentioned your previous films briefly and what you like to explore in them. Could you expand on that and tell us more how this film relates to your previous films or how it is different from your previous films?
My very first film was a film that I, like, sort of describe as, like, scientists and landscapes. It was a film about people who try to control the weather called Owning the Weather. And I'm proud of that movie. But it ended up being the kind of film that I didn't necessarily want to keep making, which was very much idea-driven instead of narrative-driven or mm-hmm. character-driven. And I spent a lot of time and probably way too much of my own money and too much of my production company's money, Fourth Row Films, who I've worked with through all my films, trying to get this thing that ended up being something that I definitely am proud is out there as my first film, and I learned so much, but not necessarily where I wanted to keep going. So the next film I filmed over a couple days with my half-sister as she was graduating high school. And that only had 14 hours of footage, plus a sort of lifetime of footage I had gathered of her since I've been filming her for so much of her life. And that became this, like, character-driven thing where you really see someone transform over a couple days. That film got out there. It was a New York Times critics pick and got a Gotham Award nomination and, like, you know, did things that you wouldn't expect from a project that, you know, had... You know, it could have been easily just a graduation present if it didn't work, basically, you know. So, there was a review of that film that said that Katie, the film's called Katie with an I, the film, basically someone said, you know, at IndieWire, Eric Cohn said Katie gave one of the best performances of the year. And I realized then that I was sort of, that's kind of what I'm totally interested in, which is this line between performance and self. Which carried over to the next film, Fake It So Real, which also got out there and played in theaters around the country and has been on, you know, New Yorker said it was one of the 15 best films of the year, et cetera. Roger Ebert liked it, which was very nice. And so that one also is about performers and professional wrestlers in North Carolina. And so that was sort of an extension of this idea of performance and self, because wrestlers are always sort of performing a version of themselves, which led to actress and this idea sort of taken to the next level with Brandy and her being a professional actor who's also stuck in these roles that she was stuck in at the time.
You just said that you were filming your family members for their lifetime, for your lifetime. Did you know early that this would be the career you'd pursue?
Well, I didn't. Yeah, I mean, I think my personal life has been, you know, like I was on a commercial when I was a baby, and for some reason that made me think I wanted to be. You know, an actor or something, which was, but as soon as someone said, oh, you're a good writer, you should be a writer. And I was like, oh, well, I'm a writer.
Okay.
And then the very next turn of the screw was journalist/filmmaker, which became documentary filmmaker. So it's something, basically, it's the same thing, really, one sort of track that I've been on, and I'm lucky in that way because it's one track. And actually, I have, like, you know, I filmed, you know, my half sister, but my mom, who's actually in Katie with an Eye, my mom and my father are both crazy, and I've always resisted sort of like, oh, I could definitely easily make a film about my father, and it'd be like this funny, insane, weird thing, and I never wanted to do that, but I sort of stumbled into it, to making the stuff with Katie, and actually one of the wrestlers in Fake It Surreal is a cousin, so. I didn't really know that I would be the kind of guy who turned his camera on his family, because it's something that I'd sort of in my head had resisted for such a long time, never wanting to write about short stories about my mom or anything like that. But then, so that created a little bit of resistance with Brandy, because I didn't necessarily want to repeat the same thing, but it was such a compelling moment for both of us that we just went for it. And I also think that there is a level of intimacy that comes in all three of the last three films that I think comes from the fact that we're comfortable with each other from the start. So
this film has had a good and a positive run at festivals and is getting, you know, a lot of positive feedback from audiences and critics. Is there anything that happens in that process from first releases to feedback that surprises you, or are people absorbing and viewing the film the way you imagined they might?
Yeah, I'm very lucky that this film, sort of the concept of it, you know, the execution, the story, all of it has really worked and resonated mostly like I had hoped, you know, which is, you can't sort of, I mean, when I'm 38 now, I've been doing, you know, working, I graduated, I guess, from graduate school, you know, 14 years ago, so this is my life, like making movies and talking about movies, and I don't take for granted the fact that, like, this doesn't happen all the time, that, you know, your intentions make it to screen. But the surprise has been, I mean, you know, and of course, everyone who tells you they like it, there's always, you know, two other people tell you they don't like it. You know, we're lucky that the vocal people who like it have drowned out any people who think it's, you know, not as good or something. So we've gotten such a good response because of that. But the thing that I'm most, you know, happy about in terms of like a surprise is that I think I sort of imagined the film's a little bit of a tricky film in a way that it's like this sort of, you know, mixture of styles and stuff, and I write about documentaries a lot for Sight and Sound and other places, and I'm very interested in the form, I'm very interested in thinking about the art of the form, and I was hoping that people would get that stuff, but I knew that there was a limitation to that, so the surprise, or not even surprise, but the really gratifying thing is that, you know, a lot of people relate to Brandy just on a pure sort of story level without thinking about all the sort of art, you know, intellectually artistic things that I'm interested in too. And that's really satisfying because we've had emotional reactions after another from people who are either actors who are looking at this as like, okay, this is what I'm worried about in my life, like trying to find this balance, or women in their 60s who made sacrifices, who can look at Brandy and say, like, you know, you're tougher than I was, or whatever it is. Like, it's just, we've really seen the film relate to people. And that's, you know, as much as you make films for yourself and you make them for your own, you know, brain and your heart for yourself, it's like, it really is relating to audiences that matter. You know, if you make a comedy, it's supposed to be funny. If you make a horror movie, it's supposed to be scary. If you make a film about a woman who, you know, who's going through a phase in her life, you want it to relate to people who have gone through similar things, and the film has, and that's incredibly, incredibly satisfying. And seeing Brandy sort of be able to get up on stage after, you know, after a talk or something, or after the film, and give a talk about, like, what it was like to go through some of these things, and how she's, as you know, in terms of being a subject, you know, it's she's a very brave subject, and that's been all very satisfying.
The film is Actress. It screens at Upstate Films in Woodstock on November 29th. Robert Green, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great. Excited to be playing in the Hudson Valley.
Robert Green's film, Actress, a Fourth Row Films pre-war cinema production, will screen at Upstate Films in Woodstock, New York at 5 p.m. on Sunday, November 29th. For more information, visit upstatefilms.org or actressfilm.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.